Pastor Randy and I had the honor and privilege to minister at the Southwest Texas Pentecostal Church of God Pastors Conference there in San Marcos together. And so he did a few services. I did a few services. And he talked about that testimony, and he said, gave that story. And man, when he did, it went off on the inside of me. And I think I knew I was coming here then. I can't remember. But I said, man, I wrote that down. I said, I'm going to ask Miss Stacy to sing that song. And how many all enjoyed that? Amen. Because of who he is. Amen. Because of who he is, we're victorious. Amen. I want to read something to you. I just felt led to do this real quick. Psalms 100. I've been reading this on a daily basis recently just because it's blessing me. And I looked it up in the Message Bible. This is not my message. We're just going to encourage you real quick here. Psalms 100. Listen to this in the Message translation. I get up early in the morning. I have two kids. Mandy, my beautiful wife back here. Stand up, sweetie, so they can see you if you can. Yay! This May 7th, we'll be married 14 years. Amen. One man was asked what it was like to be married for 14 years. He says, like 14 minutes underwater. No, I'm just kidding. Not for us, though. No, it's we've had an amazing time together. And then my beautiful one-year-old daughter, Brooklyn, she's here. Ezra, he's with us. He's three. And so I'm a blessed man. We drove in this morning, drove 3 hours from New Braunfels, Texas. We were there with a friend of ours. We did a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night conference. There in New Braunfels, a buddy of mine does these things, these meetings called Generation Summit. And he brings in the vision that God's given him is to bring in the older generation and the young generation and to get them in the same room together so they can be an impartation and let each of them minister and impart. And so we just had a phenomenal time. And so we're coming from that. Amen. So we had a good time. But I want to read this scripture to you. Psalms 100, Message Bible, says it this way. On your feet, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Can you hear the command here? I got up early in the morning. This is what transitioned me to introduce my family. Never want to forget them. But when you got two kids, you got to find time where you can find time. Amen. And so you got to get up early if you want alone time with Jesus, or you stay up late. And I'm not necessarily always a late nighter. I can get up early. And so I got up in the morning. Like I said, I've been reading this in the morning. And I got it, and I was reading. Normally, I study and read out of the New King James Version. And I thought, I'm gonna look at this in some different translations. And you know how it is. You get up in the morning. You're still trying to wake up, find yourself, think straight. Come on, somebody. You know, you're just waking up. And so I get up, and I read this first scripture, and it says, on your feet now. And man, I'm sitting there and I'm not quite yet awake, and the Holy Spirit kind of jumped up on the inside and it was like, get up. And so man, I put a little blanket on me, you know, I'm like an old man, I guess. I don't know. So I get my blanket off. I stand up, man. I just began to rejoice God and finish reading this scripture. It says, applaud God, bring a gift of laughter. How many of y'all know sometimes you got to laugh even when you don't feel like it? You know, laughter makes the devil mad because he's doing everything he can to steal your joy. I just want to encourage you here just for a moment. He does everything he can to steal your joy. You know, the devil can bring circumstances. He can bring opposition into your life in any way possible. But there's one thing he cannot do unless you allow him, and that is for him to steal your joy. How do I know that? Because joy is a byproduct or something that is produced by the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. The Bible says in Galatians that the fruit of the Spirit that lives in you will produce love, joy. Come on, somebody. It'll produce something in you. Come on, let's get on with this so I can get to my message. Hey, bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourself into His presence. Ooh, I like that. Even if your singing is a joyful noise. Come on, somebody. Know this, God is God and God, God. Man, I like that. He made us. We did not make Him. We're His people, His well-tended sheep. Man, glory to God. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I am the sheep of His well-tended sheep of His pastures. Verse 4, enter, I like this part, enter with the password, thank you. How many of y'all know thank you? Just saying thank you will open doors for you. Being grateful does something, just amazing. And even in the natural realm, just having an attitude of thankfulness. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourself at home talking praise. Thank Him and worship Him. For God is sheer beauty. I love this. All generous in love, loyal always and forever. Ooh, glory to God. I'd encourage you to spend some time meditating on that and just allow the Lord to reveal some things to you in that, because it's just a rich set of scriptures. I love that it says the Bible says He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always with you. Amen. And what I want to minister to you this morning is my job. We traveled in 2012. We, by direction of the Lord, stepped out to travel full-time. We're Martin Ministries International. We literally go all over the world. We've been to India, Ireland, Malaysia, preaching the Gospels in churches and schools, and taking the Word of God to His people, and to get people that, believing that God will open the eyes of their understanding, to let them see who God is as either a believer or someone that may not know Jesus yet. How many of y'all know we all, not just me, a minister, not just Pastor Randy. How many know you, me, all of us have the ministry? How many all know you have a ministry? You have the ministry of reconciliation. You have the ministry of reconciliation. What is the ministry of reconciliation? It is the ministry of calling people back to God. That God loves them and that God sent His only begotten Son that to die on the cross, that anyone that would believe in Him would not perish, but have what? Come on, help me out. Have everlasting life. And so we spend our time traveling, encouraging the believers, seeing people born again. The scriptures that God gave us, Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 and 5. It says, God has given me the tongue of the learned or the instructed, that I may have a word in season to them that are weary. Morning by morning, He awakens me to hear as the learned or the instructed, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. That was speaking of Jesus. You know, a word in season. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25 that anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. But a good word will make it glad. One word from God will change your life. One word from God will change your life. Here's what I want you to see, some things that God's been stirring in me. And I'm circling the airport, if you will. We're finding our place to land. So just bear with me. Y'all just run with me for a minute here. But I say this all the time to churches. You know, the devil cannot defeat you. He is a defeated foe. How many of y'all know that? He cannot defeat you. He is a defeated foe. The Bible says that Jesus stripped him of all power, all authority. He is a defeated foe. He goes around like a roaring lion. Going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom, what? He may devour. In the English language, the word may is a word of permission. Come on. It's a word of permission. In other words, the devil can't come in and steal your lunch unless you give him the right to do it. So my job, one of the things I believe that I've been thinking, meditating on is, as we encourage churches, is that we get believers to step into the reality of what you possess. Because the devil can't defeat you, but he will distract you. He'll get you so consumed with life, getting so busy with the circumstances that you're going through, and it'll get your eyes on the thing that you're presently dealing with. I heard a minister just this week. We were just in this conference, and he said this, and it's so simple, but it's such a deep revelation. The Bible says, come and magnify the Lord with me. Come and magnify. If I had a magnifier and I came up to your Bible or something and I magnify it, let me ask you a question. Do those words actually get bigger? No. It doesn't change them. But what happens? Because you magnified it, what happens? It gets bigger to you. That's why your position determines the greatness of your perspective. Your position determines the magnitude or the greatness of your perspective or how you see something. Because see, the devil wants to get you so tangled up and so consumed with your issue. Your problem, that thing the devil's trying to make big, but God's Word, the whole purpose of God's Word is to get you to get a new perspective of your position. That you are no longer down here trying to figure it out on your own, but God, through Jesus Christ, has raised you up together, made you sit together with Christ in heavenly places. My position determines everything. I'm not trying to get to God. God came to me through Jesus Christ. And He said, I loved you and I'm raising you up. I'm giving you authority and position in the kingdom of God. To reinstate you back to God's original design, which is Adam in the Garden of Eden with power and authority. So as believers, as individuals called by God, we wake up in the morning with an understanding, and this will tie in right where we're going today, with an understanding of who I am in Christ and who Christ is in me. The greatest revelation that you can get as a born-again believer, a foundational revelation of is this, that God lives inside of me. I'm wall-to-wall God. See, religion doesn't like that. Because religion has God over there somewhere, unaware and unconcerned about your problem. You trying to get to God. I'm not trying to get to God. God came to me. He saved me. He redeemed me with an eternal redemption, enabling me to come into the throne room of God. How? Crawling in, begging, pleading. Oh, come on, somebody. Don't we come in how? Boldly. Why? Because you're a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Your position determines everything. When you wake up in the morning, I'm not trying to get God to do something for me. He's already done it. I wake up knowing my God is for me. And if God's for me, who can be against me? See, but what we have to do is we have to get to the place where we're renewing our mind. It all starts right up here in your mind. Man, God's really, really been dealing with me on this. Because how many of y'all know the devil comes just to mess with you, trying to get in your mind and trying to get you to believe something that's not true? The Bible says he's the father of lies. The Bible says, and is it 1 Corinthians? I'll just quote it. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. Where is the Spirit of the Lord? He's inside of us. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of me. And because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of me, there is freedom and there is liberty in me. Whatever it is that the devil's trying to hold you captive with anxiety, with fear, with depression, whatever it is, there is inside of you right now more power and ability because of who lives in you to remove that thing, to liberate you into a place of freedom. He cannot hold you captive because of what is resident on the inside of you. So when you wake up in the morning, your job instantly, and you know, you hear ministers and different people tell you, you know, get the scriptures, put it on the bathroom mirror, get it in your car, put it up. What are we doing? We're getting you to put the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says, attend to my words. Give me your attention. Why? Because if God, again, anxiety in the heart of man causes a depression, but a good word, it'll bring freedom, liberty. It awakens you to the reality of what you possess in Him and what He has deposited on the inside of you. See, the devil wants to belittle you so bad. He wants to steal the image of Christ in you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, God willed to make known to you the mystery of the kingdom. The mystery of the gospel is what it says. God willed to make known to you the mystery of the good news of the gospel. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, I am anointed to preach the gospel, the good news. What is the mystery of the gospel? It tells you right there in the scripture. It says the mystery of the gospel is that God willed to make known to you the mystery of the gospel, which is Christ in you, the what? The hope of glory. The hope or the expectation of God's ideal condition for your life. Woo, glory to God. When you read the word Christ, you got to, one minister said it this way, you got to translate and meditate. What does Christ mean? It's the anointing. What's the anointing? Isaiah chapter 10 tells us exactly what the anointing is. It is the burden, come on, burden removing, yoke destroying, come on, what? Power of God. The power of God that is resident on the inside of you. Ooh, come on, somebody run around the room real quick. Glory to God. What am I trying to get you to? I'm trying to awaken inside of you the reality that you're not just here waiting for the trumpet to blow because, God, I'm barely holding on here. I'm not on the bottom of the barrel. I'm under the barrel. Oh, God, help me. All hell's breaking loose in my life, and we're just hoping and wishing on a prayer that God will do something for me. How many of y'all know God has already done everything that He's going to do for you? How? In Christ. But I want to go back to this statement. This is why you got to get up in the morning and you got to renew your mind. You've got to renew your mind. God said it to me this way. I like this. He said, Dustin, a mind left unattended will wander in the desert of wonder. A mind left unattended. What's a mind left unattended look like? A mind that's not in the Word of God, is not renewing its mind. Be not conformed. Romans chapter 12. Be not conformed to this. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 12. Be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't allow the world to shape you and mold you into how it acts and it thinks. Because there's a thought process going on out in that world that it leads to death. But Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 63, he says, the Spirit is life. Where's the Spirit? Right here. The Spirit is life. The flesh profits nothing. There's no confidence in your flesh. Your flesh, your actions, your ability, your duty does not please God. The devil's wanting you to try to, you know, get all puffed up and like, hey, God, look at me, but I'm doing a good job. You know, I'm like reading my Bible. I actually read the Bible today. Somebody pat me on the back. Glory to God. We're doing something now. Come on. I'm being silly. I want you to see that doesn't impress God. You know what impresses God? The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. How do you get faith? His Word. So you get the Word inside of you. You awaken the Spirit because the flesh profits nothing. But the words that I speak to you, John 6:63, they are Spirit and they are life. The Word of God on the inside of you will awaken the reality of who you are and what you possess. So that when you wake up in the morning, I'm not going out there hoping something good happens to me. I'm going out there knowing all good is already manifested in my life. I've got my eyes off of me, and now I've got my eyes on who does God want me to help. Because see, here's the thing, guys, the church, Jesus said to Peter, he said, upon this rock, what's he talking about? The rock of revelation, our understanding that Jesus was the Christ. Y'all, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is doing a little pop quiz with his disciples. You know, remember school, pop quiz? Oh, man, see, I didn't study for that. That's why it's a pop quiz, sweetheart. You know, and Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And some say you're Elijah. Some say you're this guy. Some say you're a prophet, right? Because see, if you allow men, men will define who your God is for you. And they'll always define it below the standard of who he really is. What am I talking about? That you come in there all skipping because you've been meditating on the Word and you say, my God shall supply all of my needs. And then you get some person that hasn't been thinking, meditating, and renewing their mind and they go, well, I mean, you know, sometimes he does. What did they just do? They brought God from his position of authority and glory in your life down to a place of where they can wrap their natural mind around his ability. God can do, come on somebody, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think. Abundantly above. According to the power that's in you. Wow. According to what's in you. See, here's the thing, guys, as believers, once you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you step out of the realm of not enough, out of the realm of insufficiency in any area of your life, not just financially, but in any area physically, financially, emotionally, relationally, and financially. God has deposited more than enough in you. And we begin to live how? From the inside out, from the power that's on the inside out. Because here's what I want you to see this too, is that the devil wants you to get so consumed with you that you can't see anything else around you. I'm so consumed with who I am, what I'm dealing with, I can't see what's going on with you. What do you need? The Bible says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 how God anointed Jesus. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For what? God was with him. Watch this. The Holy Spirit is the anointing on you for others that don't want what you have. It's the nine gifts of the Spirit. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. It's tongues, interpretation of tongues. It's prophecy. It's the working of miracles, gifts of healing, and the gift of faith. Those are the Holy Spirit operating in your life for other people. What am I talking about? I'm aware of what's on the inside of me, knowing my stuff's taken care of. Your stuff's taken. When you walked in here this morning, there was probably thoughts about Monday. Your to-do list, what you got to do, how you're going to handle it, the bill you got to pay, the situation you got to confront, the thing that you got to give attention to. And if you're not careful, let me say it this way, if you're not watchful, you'll get your attentions on all those things trying to figure out how you're going to handle it. Instead of resting in the understanding of God's got me. God's got you. You got to renew your mind to it, though. Because if you don't renew your mind, if you don't allow the Word of God to saturate yourself, Proverbs chapter 40 again, that you attend to His words, incline your ear into His saying, let it be in your ears and in your there you go. Which ones are which now? Your ears, your eyes, and coming out your mouth, that you become so saturated with the Word of God, understanding of the Word, that it's all you think, say, and do. How do you know when you're full? How do you know you're full of the Word of God? How do you know your gas tank's full when you're putting gas in it? Start spitting out, right? Or it clicks on the handle. Nowadays, everything's high tech, you know. But it starts spitting out. How do you know when you're full? You'll know when you're full. You're full of something right now. Some of us don't want to know what we're full of. Come on. You're full of something right now. How do we know what you're full of? Whenever there's a push, what comes out? Because when there's a push, there ought to be something that comes out of your mouth that tells what's on the inside. Man, God's been dealing with me on this big time, because the devil tries to come in and tell you and paint a picture that shows your demise, your failure, and your inadequacies and all the negatives. But if you don't, listen, you can't take a thought captive with another thought. You're not going to make it.
Yes, I am.
You know, you can't just do it up here. What happens? You got to, y'all know this, you got to stop the thought with a word. What's going on? The devil sows a thought. He's pushing you, trying to get you to use your rights, your authority, to line up your will with his will to bring about his desire for your life, which is to steal, kill, and destroy. He can't do it on his own. He got to get you to participate. I want the news, not the weather. Here we go. Say it, don't spray. He wants you to line up your will with his plan for your life, which is to steal, kill, and to destroy. Because he can't do it on his own. He can't just come in and wreak havoc in your life. And if he tries to come in and start messing with you, that's where you got to step up and take authority. So you renew your mind. Why? What's the purpose? How do you renew your mind? You get in the Word of God with the symptom, the thing that you're facing, the issue that you're dealing with. You find the Word of God for it, and you take that. Don't have to be 25 scriptures. Oh, sometimes we get overzealous. I'm going to find everything on the blessing. Just get one scripture that resonates with you and meditate on it. And when the devil pushes you, let that come out of your mouth. Let that come out of your mouth. I do this. I begin instantly to say the opposite of the negative. Because what's the opposite of the lie? There you go. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. We all get A pluses today. What's the opposite of a lie is the truth. So if the devil's telling you you're not going to get your healing, you're not going to get your blessing, you're not going to get the breakthrough, you're not going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, then you have to take the opposite of that and say, yes, I'm getting my breakthrough. I've got my healing. My needs are met. Glory to God. I'm at the right place, at the right time, with the right people, doing the right thing. And I like this, getting the right results. Why? Because God's in me. I can't fail. Perfect love casts out all fear. Love never fails. Love never fails. And how'd you get that love? The Bible says in Romans 5:5 that the love of God has been poured out, shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You become consumed and full of who your God is. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32, and they shall know their God and carry out great, bold acts and daring deeds. Bold acts and daring deeds. Great exploits. That's what an exploit is. A bold act and a daring deed. Why? Because they know their God. I didn't get into my message today. That's really awesome. This is all just off the top. But this does apply to what I was saying. I'm going to run through this real quick, and then we'll shut it down. You're renewing your mind. You're getting in place of understanding what's on the inside of you. There's two things God started talking to me about: breaking the mindset of religion. Breaking the mindset of religion in the hearts of men. It's like, okay, sounds deep. What is that? Breaking the heart, breaking the mindset of religion in the hearts of men. See, you and I are not in a religion. We're in a relationship, but even greater than that, we're in a reality. Because the Bible says in John chapter 16 that the Spirit, when the Spirit of truth has come, He'll lead and guide you into all truth. He'll lead you into that place of freedom. You shall know the truth, and the truth will do what? It sets you free. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And that Spirit that's leading and guiding you, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, that they that are the sons and daughters of God are, they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and daughters of God. So the Spirit of God's in you, leading you, guiding you to a place of truth, a place of understanding of who He is, who your God is, to bring you to a place of liberty where you're no longer bound by the chains of the enemy, you're no longer bound by the lies of the devil, that you've been liberated to walk in the freedom of who your God is and what He's destined you to be in Christ. This is what I possess. This is what I have. So I have to renew my mind to this because you and I are holy. In the mindset of we leak. We have holes. We leak. So you got to constantly be putting it in. You can't live off just the same way you can't live off of yesterday's breakfast. How many of y'all ate breakfast this morning? How many of y'all just had your cup of coffee? Come on. Okay. You can't live off of yesterday's memory of what you had, your bagel, your eggs, your potatoes, whatever. You can't live off the memory of that. You get up in the morning, you eat again and again and again and again. Why? Because your body needs the nutrients. It's what gives you energy and the ability to act. It's no different with your spirit, man. I like to say it this way. A lot of Christians, they give their body three hot meals a day and they give their spirit one cold snack a week. And they can't figure out why they can't be victorious over the enemy. It's because you're weak. It's because you're weak. Are we all right back there? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody okay? We're good? Oh, we're good. Okay. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me run through some things with you real quick here. So God was beginning to break the mindset of religion in the hearts of men. And I asked God, listen to this. I said, God, what is religion? What is religion? And God told me this. It's wanting results without intimacy. Breaking the mindset of religion in the hearts of men. How do I do that? I'm wanting results in my life. I'm not result-oriented in the sense of like, if I don't see a result, then God's not working. Hear me. But how many of y'all like results in your life? You go on a diet and nothing happens, kind of makes you frustrated. Come on, son, you know? It's like, I want results. So there's in the religious realm, people want results, but they're unwilling to do what it takes to get the results. How do you break the mindset of religion? People wanting what is religion? And God said, religion is wanting results without intimacy. What is intimacy? Intimacy is what you do with your time with the individual that you're in love with. You spend time with them. You get to know them. How many of y'all know that I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Let me find it real quick. Y'all still glad you came this morning? Y'all getting something out of this? Hallelujah. I'm enjoying it, so that's good. That means a lot. Look, yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, let me just read this to you real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. It says, all the saints greet you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Man, I read that and it seems like just a verse. Okay, he's closing the letter. We go on to the next thing. But that part of the communion or fellowship with the Holy Ghost. You're staying in a constant state of fellowship with your God. I don't want to get into all this, but the Holy Spirit is not an it. It's the third part of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's part of the Trinity. It's part of the Godhead that has been placed in you to lead you and guide you into all truth. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call out to me and I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. So what is it? You're getting up on a constant basis, fellowshipping with God, either through prayer or through His Word. You're getting into that relationship. For what purpose? To renew my mind. To begin to think right. Because if I think right, I'll speak right and I'll do right. It has an effect. How you think has an effect on your life. So there's an intimacy. There's a fellowship. And so there's two things that help break the mindset of religion. That wanting results without intimacy. And real quick, two things is the anointing. And we kind of talked about that. Christ in you. The anointing in you. The hope of glory. The anointing and glory. Bring an awareness to the anointing and the glory of God. Both things that cause the awareness of the anointing is God in you, operating through you, and the glory of God is not just the omnipresence of God, but the manifested presence of God in your life. God working in you and through you. So real quick, let me run through this, and then we'll shut her down. For the sake of time, the anointings, 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 1 through 7 talks about Samuel anointing Saul king of Israel. The anointing in your life. Everybody say this, I am anointed. You have burden removing, yoke destroying power resident on the inside of you. See, again, we're trying to figure out us, and God's trying to get you to realize, I got you. I need you to become aware of what I've placed in you so that you can begin to affect the world. Because again, we put so much emphasis on the fivefold ministry gift, like, you know, that's the pastor's job. That's what they're supposed to, because they're anointed. Glory to God. Right? But you're the church. You're the body of Christ, the anointing. And the Bible says, I quote this earlier, Matthew chapter 13, where we're doing the pop quiz, going back to that real quick, Jesus said, who do men say that I am? They gave their thoughts, and then Jesus says this, I love this, is who do you say that I am? We're still answering those two questions. Who do men say that Jesus is in your life? And who do you say that God is in your life? You have to answer those two questions. Who's your daddy? Who's God in your life? Because if you don't answer the second question, somebody else will answer it with a religious mindset that will hold you captive and below the standard of what God has for your life. But when you answer the question, you are the Christ. Peter said, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. There was a moment of revelation that sparked on the inside. I believe Peter didn't even know he was going to say it. They're sitting there having fish by the campfire, you know, just, you know, woo, having fun. Jesus talking, good times. And he says, who do men say that I am? Well, this, you know, John's over. He pipes up. And Thomas, he says a little something over there. And Peter's just being Peter, you know. And then all of a sudden he says, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter jumps out, you're the Christ! It came up from the inside. It was a revelation that God gave him of who Jesus was. And Jesus said, upon this rock, this revelation of me being the Christ, the gates of hell will not prevail. I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church upon this revelation of Jesus being the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the yoke-destroying, burden-removing power of God. I'm going to build my church on this, and the gates of hell, all of hell cannot prevail or overcome it. So you wake up in the morning and you got a little bit of a hip in your hop, a little stride in your ride, not because of your fancy, but all of a sudden you got a little revelation of who your God is. And see, what happens is now when you walk out the door in the morning, I keep saying this because We got to get past us. Now you go to the grocery store or you're at the restaurant and you're waiting to be seated. Instead of you thinking about you, you're saying, instead of what seat am I going to sit in, you're saying, Father God, what does this waitress need? Why? Because I'm aware of what's inside of me. I got the gifts of the Spirit operating in my life. I'm ready to be God's man of faith and power in the moment to do whatever He wants to do to help somebody else. You can see how this challenges you, doesn't it? Because it takes you off the bench, being a spectator, and just waiting, and now you're in the game. Now you're activated to do something for God. And the more you step out in this, the more that you begin to look and say, hey, what can I do for you? How can I help you? That's a question you got to ask yourself when you're around. Inside, what can I do for them, Lord? How can I help them? God, what do you want me to do today? What are we doing? We're being led by the Spirit of God, conscious of the power that is residing on the inside of me. I can do something. I can take care of something. Why? Because I'm anointed. I'm not waiting to get anointed. I am anointed. If He's the head and you're the body and He said, I am anointed, then you're anointed. There's a yoke-destroying, burden-removing power of God on the inside of you. I'm going to say this. It's a little edgy. You just have to meditate. Write it down. Because it's just a different way of thinking. But it'll challenge you a little bit. The way that I live my life doesn't require miracles. It produces miracles. We all need miracles. How many of y'all need a financial miracle today? You know, hands are going up. How many of y'all need a physical breakthrough, a miracle? Hands are going up everywhere. So I get this, but I'm just challenging your thinking. The way that I live my life does not put me in a place where I'm requiring God to produce a miracle in me. The way that I live my life produces miracles. A supernatural manifestation of the power of God. What is a miracle? Would you say someone rising up out of a wheelchair is a miracle? How does that happen? Well, brother, we know how. You go, you go through seminary and 18 years of Bible study, and after years of traveling with the right ministers and the right people and hanging around the anointed ones, then just maybe then God will do something special, and you'll start operating and, you know, glowing and floating and doing all kinds of cool. No. How does it happen? You waking up, realizing I'm wall-to-wall God. John G. Lake used to get up every morning, look in the mirror and says, God lives in that man. What was he doing? He was awakening the reality of what he possessed. And that is why when he was in Africa and all the nurses were getting the plague, the bubonic plague or whatever, they said, how come you're not getting it? He says, because put some in my hand. What is it? He was more conscious and more bold and aware of the life that was in him than the death that was trying to get on him. You can't get on me. Why? Because I'm anointed. You can't. That, if you really study and understand this, it'll revolutionize your understanding of this is how God can't put sickness on you to teach you something. Thanks for playing. Good night, everybody. Have a good day. Why? Because God can't put death in something that He's put life into. If He did, the moment that He did, the life that He put on the inside of me would eradicate it, and it wouldn't work anyways. Yeah, but I feel sick. Okay, you feel it, but that doesn't mean it's real or it's not a reality. Are you with me? I'm not denying the symptom. I'm not denying that there's something that's trying to attack my body. But what I am doing is I'm putting more value on the life that's on the inside of me and the power that God's given me that super exceeds this. And I command this thing to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Again, how do we do that? We renew our mind to the things of God. Get our mind to think right. Because here's the thing, guys. If you just, as a believer, if you just kick and go into neutral, the world will just take you for a ride. You're going to have to fight something. You're going to have to fight. The Bible says to fight the good fight of faith. Why have we got to fight if God's already getting, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Well, if He's given me the victory, why do I got to fight for it? Because there's a devil out there that thinks he still possesses it. So you got to rise up in the morning, put on the full armor of God and go out and enforce that which you've been given in Him and let the devil know, I'm aware of what I possess. I know what I have. I know what I possess. I know what I have. With that said this morning, without any further ado, I don't want to take any more time. We're at 12 here, so.